We get things underway this hour by welcoming back to the program our friend Pat Callahan of News Center Maine, who has joined us a number of times through the years, and this year is with us as a finalist in Downtown Madness 2020. Pat, great to have you with us. How are you, Pat?
I'm great, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. It appears your great run is going to fall just short.
Dreams crashing to the ground. Did you hear that sound?
Oh, God. It's even sadder over the phone. Wow.
Well, I can't say I'm shocked. You know, I've never appeared in major motion pictures. I've never tried to sell insurance to anybody every single day. So it's only fair that Steven should win this.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, boy, you had a great run. You knocked off a lot of talented people. I mean, you're obviously among them in the talent world, but knocked off a lot of good people first in Maine and then beating Bob Soucy, the voice of the Patriots, and then taking down Gilbert Gottfried convincingly.
That was remarkable. I wasn't sure I was ever going to get past that. It was hard enough to get past Mike Lowe of the Press Herald, you know, and
he's a
friend. And, you hate to have to go up against people like that. And but he was behind me all the way after he knew it wasn't going to be him. So I'm sorry if I let him down.
Oh, no. We appreciate everybody for playing along and taking it in the spirit that it's intended. It's, well, shameless self-promotion for us, but also a way to just have some fun and call attention to all the great people that are kind enough to join us on the show, including you.
Well, that's one of the things about the show that makes it special is, you know, you cast such a wide net and find serious and light things to talk about. And honestly, we need that more than ever right now. And so when you have somebody like a Jimmy Webb on the line, it's just what a great opportunity for those who love the music that people like he have created and to learn more about it and what went into it. It's a real treat. So, I'm happy to be part of it. And I'm grateful for everybody who voted for me along the way. I had one friend reach out who said, "Now listen, this was in the Final Four, and Roseanne Cash was in the other category of the Final Four." He said, "I'll vote for you this time, but if it's Roseanne Cash up against you, no promises, man." And I couldn't argue with that.
Well, even Stephen, when I let him know he was in the finals, Stephen Tobolowsky reached out and said, "Wow, I voted for Roseanne."
I'll bet he did, too. He's a great guy. He's been on 207, and he's a great storyteller. And he's a terrific actor. So, God, there is no shame in finishing second to him.
Not at all. Well, let's talk about, first of all, some things with you after, what was it, 30 years of working pretty much the same schedule, the same hours. You've recently had a big schedule change. How is that going for you?
That's true. Well, I stopped doing the 11 o'clock news. As you're right, I did that. I started in 1989 on that. And it sort of occurred to me along the way that while I've always liked the night shift, especially back in the days when it was Bruce Glazier and Joe Cupo on the set with me, and we just always had a great time. Things are different, and you know, it was time for a little bit of a change in what I do. And the nice thing about working the day shift is, you know, is being around as we're making the decisions about what we're going to cover and how we're going to cover it, and being more deeply involved in that editorial process, which is very satisfying, and I like to think I bring something to the table that's helpful.
Well, let's also talk about the other big story of the third big story, Downtown Madness. The COVID-19 response today has been an interesting day with protests going on in Augusta, mirroring those around the country in some places, and you understand the frustration of people who are losing income and are trying to keep businesses alive and keep food on the table. But I think it's important to realize that we're at the beginning of this fight. And while the numbers are pretty good in the northern part of the state, this thing's not over yet by any stretch.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, there are people who are legitimately afraid of what the future holds, if only economically, because they're not working or they're working less. And they really, look, Mainers want to work. They want to get back to doing what they do and support their families. So it's no wonder that they would feel that perhaps it's, you know, we need the governor to ease up on these stay-at-home restrictions. When it doesn't make as much sense is when you have a person who, as one of our reporters spoke to at the rally today, saying essentially, "Well, the governor shouldn't be violating our civil liberties, taking them away from us on a hunch." Well, of course, this is no hunch. There's, hundreds of thousands of cases across the country, more than 40,000 deaths. So that's no hunch. That's proof. And the other thing to keep in mind, and we just got off this afternoon on the briefing from Dr. Nirav Shah, the head of the CDC, we talked about the fact that rural states are now seeing more cases, places like Iowa and Nebraska and North Dakota, and whether that concerned him. And he said, it does concern me. He said, in one sense, in rural areas, you have you're a little bit safer because you're just not as crowded. There aren't as many people around. On the other hand, there are times your job requires you to be outdoors, be in contact with people. And if you do get sick, the healthcare systems may not be as easily accessed. So there are reasons to say to everybody in rural Maine, as well as in the more populated areas, that you've got to maintain the course. You've got to keep doing the physical distancing, keep doing all of the steps that we do to try to keep this from spreading. And, you know, knock on wood, it has been working reasonably well for us so far.
This story has put what would normally be the top story on the back burner, and that's the upcoming election in 2020. And probably the biggest focus here in the state of Maine is on that Senate seat that's been held for several terms by Susan Collins. How would you assess that situation right now? I know that the polls seem to indicate that her unfavorable ratings are certainly higher than they've ever been. At the same time, she has been so entrenched in that position for so long. I find it hard to imagine that even all the negative sentiment out there could translate into a Democratic victory.
It is very hard to oust any incumbent in a position like that, particularly someone like Susan Collins. And in a sense, she also, this is an opportunity for her to show what she can get done on behalf of the people of Maine by being one of the senior senators in Washington. She's something like number 17 in seniority, maybe even higher now. I forget the number, but it's very high, certainly in the top 20. And so one of the things you've seen her do is not only, you know, be very vocal about the efforts she's being made, that she's making on behalf of Small Business Administration loans, making sure that Maine small businesses have access to the Paycheck Protection Program. But also, you've noticed she's not running any traditional campaign ads right now. All of her paid spots that are done, approved by her campaign, are ones where she talks about the people who are meeting the crisis firsthand and the things that Mainers have to do to stay safe and to work on this together. That's an unusual opportunity to be able to, A, try to show that you're engaged in the fight and you're getting the job done, B, show some empathy and a sense of we're all in this together.
Do you think the response to the COVID-19 crisis becomes perhaps the most important issue in the November elections?
Oh, there's a good chance of that. I mean, it's already politicized, let's face it. As we have these demonstrations about wanting to reopen the government, there's a political overtone to them without a doubt. And what's going to happen on the national level for sure is, you know, President Trump will either be able to run on his record of helping us get through this and coming out on the other side relatively unscathed, or he will have to try to back away from that and find other ways to attack the presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden. There's a story I read a couple of days ago that said the Trump campaign is looking at trying to tie Joe Biden to China based on his past work, and that somehow that will link him to the people who, you know, quote unquote, are responsible for this virus.
We're talking with Pat Callahan of News Center Maine. Well, on a lighter note, Pat, what are you listening to? What are you watching these days? Because we all need a little comfort in our self-quarantine situations. I know you're a big music guy. What is it that you're enjoying that helps take your mind off things?
Boy, you know, just it gives you a chance when you have more time at home to go a lot deeper into your collection and find things maybe you haven't listened to before. And, you know, there's just, you look at the, particularly, you know, you and I focus a lot on the music of the 60s and early 70s. That's kind of our era. And gosh, there's just so many great records that came out of there. You listen to albums by the Grassroots or Gary Lewis and the Playboys, and, you know, that they don't, maybe they don't have the cachet of the Stones or the Beatles or the big acts, but they're just so much fun, and they do give you a sort of sense of, yep, we've been through a lot of things before, and we'll get through them again. As for television viewing, you can't go wrong, I think, with some of the great comedies of all time, Dick Van Dyke Show, but more recently, Parks and Recreation or 30 Rock, and, you know, those are just, they're just really lighthearted and well done. I mean, they hold up to repeated viewings. I just recently, I watched all of The Americans as it was airing over the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, however long ago that started. My wife had not seen it, so I've started watching it again with her. And I guess it's good escapism, but it's not exactly relaxing because there's a lot of tension going on.
Well, I know this. Among the things I'm looking forward to doing when life resumes some semblance of normalcy here, I'm looking forward to seeing live music again, because that's one of the things that I get the most enjoyment in. And I had some concerts I was looking forward to seeing this summer and probably are not going to happen. So I'll be glad when that's able to be part of our lives once again.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, no one knows yet how that's going to look, whether it's a sporting event or a rock concert or any show like that where the big gathering. Are there ways you can conduct those things and still give people some space? I don't know. No one knows the answer to that yet. There's all kinds of possibilities being floated. But, you know, let's face it, when it comes to the musicians trying to make a living, they need to be able to perform, whether they're playing in small clubs in the Old Port or whether they're doing big shows on the Bangor waterfront. Musicians have to get out and play because that's where their money is now.
Pat, it's always so good to talk with you. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. Congratulations again on a really great run. It's a tribute to what we know already, which is the people who listen to our show are awfully smart. They know a great guest when they hear it, and we always love it when you come on and visit with us.
Well, you're very nice to say it, and I appreciate everybody who's been listening and voting for me in the poll. And, you know, maybe we'll take another run next year. You never know.
There you go. Thank you, Pat. Be well.
You too, Rich.